Archer will say good morning and a good moed. Let's begin. Beautiful daf today. So we're starting Pei Aleph Amud Aleph 81. So after we Bachshim yesterday, we were able to get an incredible education about different types of cedars, 7-10 different types of cedars, Baruch Hashem. So along the same topic of trees, the Mishnah begins. Hakol Nishne Ilanos Pesoch Sadeh Chaveiro. The person goes ahead and acquires two trees within the field of his friend. Hare Ze Lokana Karka. So we've already seen this concept a number of times, that two trees by themselves does not constitute a field. As such, when you acquire two trees, all you acquire are the trees. You do not acquire any associated karka, any associated land with those trees. Rabbi Meir says, kana karka. Rabbi Meir ever says, no, when you acquire two trees, you in fact do acquire the land with the tree. If you look at the Rashbam says, kana karka, first short line, techashvilahu sada ilan. So we'll say, here's what everyone agrees with. Everyone agrees that essentially if you acquire a certain number of trees, then by definition, it's called a field. And obviously, if it's called a field, you acquire the land along with the trees. The shaila is, how many trees does one have to acquire in order to ultimately be called a field? So the Tanakhama is going to say three or more. Rabbi Meir says, even two or more, you acquire the associated land. Based on this previous statement, Higdilo, going back to the case of where I purchased two trees. So I purchased two trees, therefore, according to the Tanakhama, all I've purchased are trees. I have not purchased surrounding area. Therefore, as a result, higdilu, if the trees grow. Now, the case over here, if you look at the Rashbam, hirchivu ha'anafim harbis. So let's just play this out. I purchased two trees from Reuven. According to the Tanakhama, I only own trees. I do not own any associated land. So now, that means essentially my trees are situated on Reuven's land. Now what happens? My trees begin, Baruch Hashem, to grow. The branches begin to extend. So what's the halacha? Lo yishpeh. Reuven, the owner of the land, does not have the right to cut back my branches. Now what's the logic behind that? Take a look at the Rashbam again. Lo yishpeh. Lo yiktsos osan bala karko. So the owner of the karko, Reuven, cannot cut back my branches. Even though now my branches are shading his field, and that's not good. It's actually very interesting. What the Gemara is saying is like this. Now that we're taking the approach of the Tanakhama, that the purchase of two trees does not entitle you to land. What that means is, if I buy trees from Reuven, it's understood that Reuven yields some of the use of his land to support the use and growth of my trees. Therefore, if my trees extend, the branches extend, even though the extension of those branches creates shade upon Reuven's field, which may be detrimental to Reuven's field, Reuven essentially yields the use of his field for my branches, and therefore he does not have the right to cut back my branches. Anything that grows from the trunk is mine, the purchaser of the trees. Anything that grows from the roots of the trees, shabala karka, belongs ultimately to Reuven, the owner of the field. And if my trees die, in lo karka, then I will say, I have no additional land. In other words, once the trees die, this is not a case where I only purchased two trees, therefore I don't own the surrounding land. Once the trees die, I do not have the right to replant any additional trees. However, kana shlosha, the Rebbe says, going to the Tanakhama, if I purchase three trees, then kana karka. Then ultimately, again, not only do I own trees, but what? I own surrounding land, and therefore, again, higdilo yishpa. The Rebbe says, interesting enough, because I own surrounding land, therefore Reuven, the seller, has not yielded any rights in his land to me. And should my branches overgrow, right? Should my branches extend, yishpe, Reuven has the right to cut them back. Va'ola min ha'geza min ha'sharashin shalom. And anything that comes ultimately again from the trunk or from the roots belongs to me, the purchaser of the trees, because I own the trees and the land. V'meisu, and therefore if the trees die, yesh lo karka, I own the land as well, and they have the right to replant additional trees there. So we'll say, what we're going to be focusing on today is the fundamental machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Meir as to how many trees do you have to purchase in order to also acquire surrounding land. So according to Tanna Kamma, three trees. According to Rabbi Meir, even two trees. Well, so it says Gemara, fine. Tanan Hasam. So let's analyze this. Hakol Mishnei Elonis B'Sof Shel Chaveiro. So we'll say today we're going to focus a little bit on Bikurim. Hakol Mishnei Elonis B'Sof Shel Chaveiro. So what happens? I go ahead and I purchase two trees inside the field of my friend. So what's Talacha? Maybe Ve'ino Kore. So we'll say I have to go ahead, I have to bring Bikurim. But inokori means, we'll say there are two parts to the bikurim process. There is the actual bringing of the bikurim, and then there is the recitation. There are certain psukim that are read. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following, that if I only purchase two trees, I have an obligation to bring bikurim, but I have no obligation to make the recitation. Now, if you look at the Rashbam says, ve'inokori, lefisha lo kana karko, velo karina be, priha adoma shana satalis. We'll say we will see that part of that recitation includes, we're Bikiyim now in this recitation, because remember, much of the Magid section is comprised of the Psukim of Mikra Bikurim. So the Gemara says over here, because I've only acquired two trees, I have not acquired the surrounding land, and therefore I can't recite the Psukim, because the Psukim make reference to the fruits of the ground that you have given me, which indicates that the person who bring in the Bikurim owns the real estate as well. But if I only purchase two trees, I own the trees, I have to bring the fruit, but I do not own the land. So I bring the Bikurim, but I do not make the recitation. Rabbi Meir says, maybe the Korim. Rabbi Meir says, no, you go out and you bring the Bikurim, and what? And you also recite the Psukim. Now both say, now Bepashtos, what does this mean? This just seems to be an extension of Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah. Because Rabbi Meir said that when you purchase two trees, you what? You do also acquire the land surrounding the trees. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mechayiv Hayi Rabbi Meir, Af Belokeach Peros Min Ashok. So Rabbi Yehuda says, name of Shmuel, it's not true. This sheet of Rabbi Meir over here by Bikurim is separate and distinct by that which was expressed in the Mishnah, because Rabbi Meir holds that even if you purchase produce from the marketplace, you have to go ahead and bring Bikurim, which Rabbi says is quite dramatic. So that's Rabbi Meir saying that even if you clearly own no land at all, you still have to bring Bikurim. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do we know about the Shita of Rabbi Meir? Mediktani Mishnah Yisera. So Rabbi says, from the fact that the Gemara is bringing down an extra Mishnah. Now, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following, that Rabbi Meir's Shita is repetitive. And the repetition of the Shita comes to teach me that according to Rabbi Meir, even if I purchased produce, and I for sure don't own any land, I am still mechoyev to bring Bikurim. Rabbi says, now where do we see the repetition? Watch this. Michti, Tana le diyesh lo karka. So we'll say, so remember again, in our Mishnah, what's the takeaway message in our Mishnah? Takeaway message is that if you go ahead and you purchase two trees, according to Rabbi Meir, what do you get? You get karka. Okay, so we'll say, so if that's the case, pshita, then maybe vikore. It is obvious that according to Rabbi Meir, if you were to purchase two trees, then of course you would bring bikurim, and you would recite the psukim as well. So I'll say, so if that's the case, then why is there a need to repeat another Mishnah that says, Hakone shnei ilonos b'sof shel chaveiro, Rabbi Meir Omer Moivi v'kori. In other words, I have two Mishnayas that are essentially teaching me the same things. Elish Mamina, rather that second Mishnah must be teaching me, Mechayiv hay Rabbi Meir, af belokeach peros min ashok. Rather, Masih Rabbi said, the point of that second Mishnah was what? That according, because again, from our Mishnah, I learned that even if you only purchase two trees, according to Rabbi Meir, you get land. So if you own the trees and you own the land, then it's pashut, that's what? That you bring the Bikurim and you make the recitation. So therefore, Rabbi said, this additional Mishnah, which is the Mishnah in Bikurim, must be coming to teach me something additional, which is that according to Rabbi Meir, even if I purchase produce just from the marketplace, I am mechuyev to go ahead and bring Bikurim from that fruit. Well, how could that be, Rabbi Osai? How could it be that you're telling me that if I just purchase produce from the shuk, that I'm obligated to bring Bikurim from that? V'haksiv asher tavi ma'artzucha. Rabbi Osai, the pasuk by Bikurim says what? That you have to bring the first fruit from what? That you will bring from your land. So Rabbi Osai, so the pasuk clearly indicates that what? That you have to own land in order to bring Bikurim. to which the Gemara says, "Lemeute admas akum." I will say that comes to exclude land owned by a Gentile. In other words, I have to bring mikurin from land as long as it's Jewish-owned land. But if I don't have to own the land, the fruit. I'm sorry, that skip. Oh, thank you. Okay. Thank you. So we'll say, so that comes to exclude ultimately chutzlaretz. To tell me that, yes, according to every mayor, I don't have to own the land in order to go ahead and bring the bikurim, but it has to be Eretz Yisrael dikar fruit. If it's not from Eretz Yisrael for some chutzlaretz, there's no obligation of bikurim. I v'hoksiv admascha, but it says your land. Lemeute admas akum. And we'll say that comes to exclude the following situation, which is it can't be land that belongs to a Gentile. Now, what this is referring to over here is that even if it's Eretz Yisrael land, that's not enough. It has to be Eretz Yisrael land that's what? That's owned by a Jew. But if it's owned by a non-Jew, it would not be subject to the crime. So we'll say, you know, this statement over here is a subject of much controversy about the status of Eretz Yisrael land that's owned by a non-Jew. This has major contemporary ramifications as well, just contemporarily for Shemitah purposes, because you know that the whole Yisod of Heter Mechira is based on the idea that if you sell land to a non-Jew, that land no longer has its Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The entire Heter Mechira is predicated on that principle, or on that tenant. That tenant is disputed by many, which is why, according to many, Heter Mechira does not work at all. So the point, this Gemara is bringing it down over here by Bikurim. But the point the Gemara is making over here is that according to Rabbi Meir will say, you need not own land in order to be chayiv in produce, in order to be chayiv in Bikurim, as long as that produce is coming from A, from Eretz Yisrael, and B, land owned by a Jew in Eretz Yisrael. But listen to this. But the Pasuk Rebbe said by Mikra Bikurim, by the Psukim that you read, says that you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the land that you have given me. Listen to this. So the Gemara says, D'yahavis lizuzei v'zabni buhu. It could also mean I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the money that he has given me, because with that money, I can go ahead and purchase produce. Okay, so I'll say, so far what we have over here is the sheet of Rabbi Meir. We're now expanding a little bit. So from our Mishnah, we learn that according to Rabbi Meir, even when you go ahead and you purchase two trees, you get land with those trees. So according to Rabbi Meir, it would be obvious that if I purchase two trees, that it would be chayiv to bring bikurim from those trees, and be chayiv ultimately to make the restitution. That's obvious. The Gemara now is saying is that the additional Mishnah bikurim is coming to teach me that what? That even if I just purchase produce, I'm chayiv to bring bikurim from that purchased produce. What about all of these psukim that seem to indicate that land ownership is a prerequisite for bikurim? Sevi Meir has his various drushas by each of those psukim. Fine. Masiv rabbos. So Rabbi raised the kasha. Hakone ilan echod besoch shachaveiro. If a person goes in and purchases one tree in the field of his friend, maybe ve'ino korei. So I'll say you have to bring bikurim, but you don't recite the associated psukim. Divrei Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. So what do you see from here? You see from here that according to Rabbi Meir, that halacha lemaisa, in a situation where you go ahead and you, where you don't have land ownership, you have to bring, but you do not recite the psukim. To which the Gemara says, tiyufta. You're right. That is a good refutation of Shita Samir. In other words, we thought that Rabbi Meir was saying this entire time, that what? That even if you don't own land, not only do you bring Bikurim, but you also make the recitation. Seems like that's not the case. This is according to Rabbi Meir, that Lamaisi, you'll bring Bikurim, but ultimately, again, there will not be a Kriya. Amar li Rabbi Shimon ben al-Yakim, l'Rabbi Eliezer, excuse me, Amar li Rabbi Shimon ben al-Yakim, l'Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Shimon al-Yakim says to Rabbi Lazar, I'm amazed. My time of Rabbi Meir be Ilan Echad, my time of Dirabanan Bishneilan. So let's listen to this. So now you have Rabbi Shimon ben al-Yakim asking Rabbi Lazar the following kasha. What is the svar of Rabbi Meir be Ilan Echad? So remember again, what did Rabbi Meir say by Ilan Echad? Rabbi Meir said, Mevi ve'eno korei. You bring Bikurim, but you do not make the associated recitations. You do not read the psukim. The Rabbanan and Rabbos, they hold the same thing by Shnei Ilanos. They will hold that if you purchase two trees and bring the fruit, you bring the Bikurim, but what? No associated Kriya. So Rabbi Shimon ben El Yakim is asking Rabbi Elazar, what's the Svara? What's the logic of Rabbi Meir as to why he says that you bring Bikurim but no recitation by Ilan Echad, and the Rabbanon say you bring Bikurim but no recitation by Shnei Ilanos? Was that take a look at the Tap Rashbam and pay Aleph on the base? My tema to Rabbi Meir by Ilan Echad Keivan De'eno Korei Mishum Dechsev Asher Tavi Me'artzecha Lama Mevi Hamehava Nami Me'mayid Lekra. Most of the Gemara is asking is the following. Why is it that in a situation where Rabbi Meir or the Rabbanon would not warrant a Kriya, why would there be an obligation to bring Bikurim altogether? That's the question the Gemara is making over here. But so here's what we've established. According to Meir, what we've established is the following. Is that Lamaisa, two or more trees, you'll bring Bikurim, and there's a recitation, which makes sense. Why? Because Lamaisa, again, you own the land. However, one tree, according to Rabbi Meir, or for that matter, two trees, according to the Rabban, and we've established now that you don't own land. And therefore, again, the Gemara said that in those cases, you'll bring Bikurim, but no recitation. To which the Gemara asks, I don't understand. If I don't have a recitation, that's because I don't own the land. If I don't own the land, then why would there be an obligation to bring Bikurim altogether? So let's listen to this. So Rabbi Lazar says, Amar Lo, says to Rabbi Shimon al Yochim, Dover Shai Shonim Lo Omru Botan, Tishalani Bebeis HaMedrash Kedei Levayshani, something that the earlier ones did not know a reason for. You ask me in the Beis Medrash in order to embarrass me? Whereas the Rabbi Lazar saying is, Rabbi Shimon, you know that we don't know the answer to that kasha. So why are you asking me that question in the Beis Medrash in front of all of these people? Are you trying to embarrass me that I don't know the answer? I'm a rabbi, my kushya. So Rabbi says, I don't understand, why is it such a kasha? Dilma, Rabbi Meir, be'ilon echad, sapuke misafkile. Maybe Rabbi Meir, Rabosai, in the case of one tree, is misupak. Right? Meaning, maybe he just doesn't know what the status of that fruit is. Rabbanon, b'shnei ilanos, sapuke misafkilehu. And Rabbanon, in the case of two trees, are misupak. So we'll say, maybe any time that you say, maybe ve'ino korei, that you bring Bikurim, but there's no recitation, that's why Rabbi Osai, that is demonstrative of a doubt about the status of the fruit. So Rabbi Meir says, in the case of one where I bought one tree, I'm a supak, do I own land? Not own land. Therefore, I bring the Bikurim, but I don't make the recitation. Did I bought, in the case of where I bought two trees, I'm a supak. Omi masapkile, but Rabbi Osai, is there any kind of safik vahakatani, lefishalo kana karka div Rabbi Meir? We'll say, the Braisa was quite explicit. The Braisa on Amud Aleph said that according to Rabbi Meir, if you purchase one tree, what's the halacha? You bring Bikurim, but you don't make the recitation. Why not? Because Rabbi Meir says you're not Kanakarka, you don't acquire the land. So that doesn't seem to be a subject. That seems to be quite a definitive statement. Eima Shemalo Kanakarka. Maybe what the Braisa really means, we'll say, is what? That if I purchase one tree, I bring the Bikurim, but I do not go ahead and recite the Psukim. Why? Shema lo kanakarka. Because perhaps I did not acquire the land. So we'll say, so the Gemara says over here, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. That in the case of one tree, according to Rabbi Meir, and the case of two trees, according to the Rabbanon, we're not sure about what the status of such a transaction is. In other words, we're not sure in halacha. In the purest objective form in halacha, according to Rabbi Meir, when you purchase one tree, according to the Rabbanon, when you purchase one tree, it's clear that you get no land. Their suffix begins with two trees or more. I should say, well, it's not a suffix. Their suffix is with two trees. When you purchase two trees, do you associate them? Because according to Rabbanon, once you purchase three, then what? Everyone agrees you get land. The Rabbanon's suffix is two trees. Does two trees entitle you to land or not? Rabbi Meir's suffix is in one tree. Does one tree entitle? So therefore, again, because that's their suffix, in Bikurim situations, you're going to bring the Bikurim, but you will not make the associated declarations. So the Gemara says, but one second. Well, so we'll say, therefore, the way they resolve the suffix is how, according to Rabbi Meir, in the case of one tree, what will you do? You'll bring the Bikurim, no recitation. According to the Rabbanon, in the case of two trees, you'll bring the Bikurim, no recitation. But one second. V'leichosh dilma lav Bikurim nenu. But it's possible that what? Maybe this suffix fruit is not Bikurim. V'kama ayil chulin la'azara. But so you have a big issue over here. What's the big issue? That it's nice to say that out of suffix, you'll just bring the fruits as Bikurim. There's one problem, which is, that if you're wrong, and they're not Bikurim, then what? You have brought in unconsecrated items into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, which Rabbi say is profoundly problematic, to put it mildly. To which the Gemara says, Dimaktishlu. Now what's the case, Rabbi say? You consecrate the fruit. You consecrate the fruit. So you make the fruit Hekdish, and therefore again, that allows you to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. But 1 second, if it's Hekdish, Vahabai Michlinhu. If it's Hekdish, then what's Rabbi say? The Kohanim can't eat it. To which the Gemara says, Deparaklehu. What do you do about it? So here's what's amazing. You makdish it. That allows you to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. Once it is in the Beis HaMikdash, what do? You redeem it, which means you deconsecrate it. You transfer the sanctity of the fruit onto money. Give the money to the Beis HaMikdash. Now that the fruit is deconsecrated, it could be consumed by the Kohen. And even though it's deconsecrated, it could remain within the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Deparklu. Ay, v'dilma. Lav bikurim ninhu. Listen to this. Here's the issue. Bikurim, you know, are tax exempt, so to speak. Right? Meaning, bikurim, you don't have to separate out trumas and maisers from it, which makes sense. Because since it's already consecrated, you don't have to separate trumas and maisers. So here's the problem. You're taking this produce now, that is what? That is sothic. So now what we're saying is, you're going to be makdish it, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. When it gets to the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to deconsecrate it. The Kohen will eat it. The money belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. But 1 second, by consecrating it, are you not going ahead and removing it from the obligation of separating out Shumas and Maestros? To which the Gemara says, the Mafleshlehu. Avos say, what's the case? In the case of Safek Bikurim, you know what you do? You separate out Shumas and Maestros. Separate out Shumas and Maestros. So let's analyze this. So meaning you cover your bases. So Bishlam Shumah Gedola Yavel Kohen. So I'll say, so under normal circumstances, if you're separating out Shumas and Maestros from this Bikurim, it's not a big deal. Why? Because for Shumah Gedola, you could give it to the Kohen. Maestro Sheni, Nami Yoiv Leila Kohen. I'll say, Maestro Sheni, you also have the right, if you want, to give it to the Kohen. Right? Remember again, Maestro Sheni, under normal circumstances, is my property. I'm the owner of the produce. If I choose to give that over to the Kohen, I have the right to do that as well. So in this case of Safek Bikurim, I can cover my bases in the following way. I can separate out a portion as Truma Gedola, and it's fine, I can give it to the Kohen anyway. I can separate out a portion as Maeser Sheni, and I can give that to the Kohen as well. However, Maeser Ani, Nami Yohev Lei the Kohen Ani. So I'll say, so to Maeser Ani, which is the portion given to the Ani, I'll make sure to only give this Safek Bikurim to a Kohen who's an Ani. So I'll say, so the point is, I could separate out all of these tithe amounts, cover my bases, and just simply give them to the Kohen. The problem I'm going to run into is where? Ela Maeser Rishon de Levihu Lemay Yohevle. Well, so the problem is, if I want to take this Safek Bikurim, I want to cover my bases by separating out Shumas and Maestros also. So by separating out Shuma Gedola, not a problem. Give it to the Kohen. Maeser Sheni, give it to the Kohen. Maeser Ani, give it to the Kohen. But Maeser Rishon Rabosai is the property of who? Levi. So the problem is, if I separate out Maeser Rishon from this Safik Bikurim and I give it to the Levi, that's going to be problematic. Why? Because I'm potentially giving stuff that might be Bikurim to the Levi as well. To which the Gemara says, no, not a problem. Do you have the coin? I'll say, in this case, you could give the Maeser Rishon to the coin as well. How so? Kirabalaza ben Azariah. Like Rabbalaza ben Azariah, because Rabbalaza ben Azariah saying, this son, Rabbalaza ben Azariah says, or actually the Bryce says, Shuma Gidola the coin. Shuma Gidola goes to the coin. Maeser Rishon the Levi, Div Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says that Maeser Rishon goes to the Levi. Rabbalaza ben Azariah Omer, Maeser Rishon af the coin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, no, you can even go ahead and give Maeser Rishon to the Kohen as well. Rabbi Elazar, if you take a look at the Rashbam says over here, Maeser Rishon the Kohen, below the Levi, Kedim Mefarish Piksuva Seferaka Isha Shanes Amrlo, Umukila Labasar de Kansinu Ezra. Rabbi Elazar, so remember, we've actually seen this before, that after Ezra brought up the remaining Jews, where I should say, when Ezra comes back to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, he gathers the exiles to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Everybody's represented except for one segment of the population, which was the Levium. Levium did not come back. As a result, Ezra knessed them. Ezra fined them. What was the fine? He took away their Maaser Rishon, and he gave their Maaser Rishon ultimately to the Kohanim. So therefore, again, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Rabbosai, that in this case of Safek Bikurim, you could even give the Maaser Rishon to the Kohen. So therefore, Rabbosai, what we've done is, we've covered all of our bases. So therefore, again, let's just trace this progression. This is a very specific case. According to Rabbi Meir, it's a case of one tree. According to the Rabbanan, it's the case of two trees. Where I'm not sure in these cases if I own the land or not. When there's a suffix of land ownership, there's a suffix if what? If you should bring Bikurim at all. So what do? I bring the Bikurim. So I'll say, how do I bring them? First, I makdish them. That's the first thing, I makdish them. That allows me to bring it into the Azara. Once I get into the Azara, what do? I redeem them, I'm bold to them, money is transferred onto the sanctity, the coin eats the produce. What about all of the Truma Semaisers? It's not a problem. I can separate out Truma Gidola and just give that portion to that same coin. I can separate out Maaser Sheni, give it to the coin. Maaser Ani, give it to a poor coin. And even now, Maaser Rishon will align ourselves in this case, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and give him that portion as well. So the Gemara says, 1 second. The Gemara says, V'dilma bikurim nihu ubo kriya. But 1 second, remember, this is suffic bikurim. So maybe this produce is real bikurim. If it's real bikurim, then what's Rabbi saying? It requires a recitation. And you're not making a recitation over here because you're mesupak about the land ownership. So doesn't that lack of recitation of psukim ultimately undermine the bikurim? To which the Gemara answers, kriya lo ma'akeves. As much as you are supposed to do a recitation along with the Bikurim, both said the Kriya is not Ma'akev, which means you're supposed to do it. But if you did not read the Pesukim when you brought the Bikurim is still good. So Mar Sivalo, is that true that Kriya is not Ma'akev? Ha'amar Rabbi Zeira. Kala Roy Labila ain't Bila Ma'akev Esbo. V'sha'ino Roy Labila, Bila Ma'akev Esbo. So let's listen to this. So I'll say, we've had this statement many a time. This statement ultimately, again, is by the Karban Mincha. The aloha by the Mincha is the following. A Mincha is made from flour and oil. Now, ideally, the Mincha is supposed to be mixed. What happens if you didn't mix the Mincha? So the Gemara, the Klal is essentially, as long as the Mincha is mixable, then mixing is not ma'akev. If the Mincha is not mixable, then mixing is ma'akev. Now, by the way, when would a mincha not be mixable? If there's too much flour and oil in the kli, in the utensil, so that mixing it would what? Cause it to overflow over the sides. Then that mincha is not good. Right? Then mixing is ma'akev. So we'll say, we generally use this as a principle to say that what? But essentially, as long as you can do something, even if you don't actually do it, you're fine. As long as what? As long as you could. Right? As long as you could. But if you couldn't, then non-performance is ma'akev. So the Gemara says over here like this. In this case, a suffix bikurim, right? Maybe it is bikurim, and therefore you should have to read the psukim. And since you're not reading the psukim, the bikurim is not good. The Gemara says, no. Reading is not ma'akev. Reading the psukim is not ma'akev. So the Gemara says, sure. Reading the psukim is not ma'akev when? When you could have done it. But if you can't do it, then the reading is ma'akev. So we'll say, in this case over here, because you couldn't read the psukim, why couldn't you read the psukim? We'll say, because maybe this produce is what? Not bikurim. Therefore, I would say that the non-reading of the psukim, ultimately, again, should be ma'akev, to which the Gemara says, Ki Rabbi Yossi b'achanin da'amar, but, this is actually very interesting, but shran v'shigran b'yad shliach u'me shliach b'derech, maybe ve'eno kore. But listen to this. If I harvested my bikurim, you know, but say, under normal circumstances, we would assume that most people would want to bring their own bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, but let's say I couldn't, for whatever the reason. I harvested my produce, and I sent the produce with a shaliach. And then what happens, Rabbi Osai? The shaliach nebach dies on the way. I come and retrieve my produce, and take it to Yerushalayim. What's the halacha under that circumstance? Maybe I bring the bikurim of the Eino Kore, but I do not read the psukim. My time, what's the reason? The chsev, v'lakachta v'hevesa. Because the Bosai, the Pasuk says, you shall take the Bikurim, and you shall bring them to Yerushalayim. Type of pei beis. Ad shetei lekich v'hava ke'echad v'halakar. The Bosai says, interesting gzeres hakasev. What's interesting gzeres hakasev? That the only time you read the Pesukim is when? Is if it's the same person harvesting and bringing. But if it's not the same person harvesting and bringing, there is no kriya. Therefore, Rabbi said the Gemara suggests over here something quite fascinating. That in this particular case of Safek Bikurim, I have to be makbid to what? To send the Bikurim with someone else. Because if I send the Bikurim with someone else, then what? Then I obviate the need for kriya. Right? So what I do is I take advantage of a technical loophole in order to just sidestep the whole issue of kriya. I make sure that in the case of Safek Bikurim, I send the Bikurim with someone else. Suppose I just finish up another line. Amli Rav Achabri Rav Avi Rav Ashi. Michti Psukim in Likri. I don't understand. What's the big deal about reading the Psukim? They're just Psukim. Just read it. Right? Just read it. Rosa Kekari Batora. What is the big deal? Amrlei Mishum de Mechse Kishikra. Rosa is an incredible Musar. Why? Because Rabbi said, because it looks like you're lying. What does mean Mechse Kishikra? What's the issue over here? The Mechse Kishikra Rabbi said will be in a case. Because the Pasuk indicates that what the Pasuk is, and in this recitation, is the individual is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the land that he has given him. And Rabbi said, because I don't necessarily own the land, therefore what? It has the appearance ultimately of a shekra, of a falsehood. We keep the Rashbam for just a moment. Mechsek shekra, shai b'shil avas bikurim kakari, b'shem alav b'karko shalo gidlo. Rabbi said, I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for these fruits that have grown on my land, and maybe the land is not mine, the kama shaker. And therefore I'd be lying. Ksiv, Dover Shkarim lo yikol neged enai. Pasikitilim says, he who speaks falsehoods will not be established before my eyes. About Kishakori Bator lo mechse kishikas. So let's listen to this. The idea over here is, in Yiddishkeit we believe that not only does a person have to obviously avoid lying, but I have to avoid things that are mechse kishikra. If it doesn't look right, what's the appearance of lying? In other words, it's an incredible yisod. That sometimes, you know, we like to kind of gauge the appropriateness of our actions by, well, is it mutter or is it asr? Right? Is it kasher? Is it treif? Is it tamez tar? And sometimes something could be kasher, but it's still treif. And some things could still be tar, but it's still tame. And something could be true, but it's still sheker. The idea that the Jew always has to live above board, that my actions have to be able to stand on their own, and not only should they not be objectively inappropriate, but they shouldn't look inappropriate either. So the act of bringing Bikurim and reading Psukim that seem to say that I own the land when I don't own the land is Mechse Keshikra. Furthermore, Rav Meshar Shebrei Amar Dilma Asilaf Kino Mitshmu Meiser. Both said the other issue over here is that we're concerned that if you go ahead and what? If you go ahead and you make the recitation, that a person may think that it's actual Bikurim, and therefore may come to exempt this produce from Trumas and Meisrus, which Rabbi Osei would not be the case. Rabbi Osei, so we end off with a fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, and here's what's fascinating. What began really as a machlokes just in general land ownership, right? Remember, we started with this with the Mishnah. General land ownership was the machlokes was if you purchase two trees, right? Do you own the associated land with it? Rabbi Meir says yes. The Rabbanan say no. Ultimately, is nisgalgal into a machlokes regarding Bikurim. So we'll say, so remember, what that would mean is by Bikurim, Rabbi Meir would say, once you own two trees, you own the associated land, and therefore what? You bring Bikurim, and you would recite the Psukim. According to the Rabbanon, it's only once you own three trees, do you own the land. You own land and make the recitation. Which Rabbi Osei then means in what? In a case of one tree according to Rabbi Meir and two trees according to the Rabbanon, Rabbi Osei, those are cases where what? It's a suffix whether I own that land or not. Because it's a suffix, therefore what? I bring Bikurim Misafik. And when you bring Bikurim Misafik, Rabbi Osei, we see that you have to satisfy all of these possibilities. So first of all, when you bring Bikurim Misafik, then what? You bring, but there's no recitation. If possible, you would bring Alsa Shaliach, because therefore bringing Alsa Shaliach would obviate the need for the Mikra Bikurim. You still have to separate out Trumas and Maestros from Safek Bikurim. What do you do with the Trumas and Maestros? Well, again, Truma Gidol you can give to the Kohen, Maestro Sheni you give to the Kohen, same Kohen, Maestro Ani give to the Kohen, and we rely on the opinion of Elazar ben Azariah, that what? We rely on the opinion of Elazar ben Azariah, that you could even give Maestro Rishon to the Kohen as well. Both sides. Bottom line is, take home message is, just buy three trees. Just buy three trees. If you just buy three trees, right, then it's clear that you own all of the land. And if you own all of the land, then again, Allah say, if the trees die, you could replant the trees. And also, you could just bring your Bikurim Benachos. Stop over here. Shkoyach.
I did.